This afternoon, we'd like to look at one of the outstanding passages in the Bible concerning the resurrection of the dead and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've read 1 Thessalonians, it's written by the Apostle Paul, and if you notice at the near the end of each chapter, the way it has been subdivided, you'll notice that there is a reference to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the end of the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, verse 10, the last verse of the first chapter, it reads, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the next chapter, and you venture over there near the end, and let's see here, verse 19. "For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Turn to the third chapter, go to the end of it, read into the end, "He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." And of course, everyone should know the end of verse 4. You ever been to an old Baptist funeral or hear the preaching of the gospel? It says here in verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And then, last but not least, chapter 5. Come to the end of it, and we read here, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren." And he says here, let's see, oh, verse 23, I have to back up a few verses. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." It sounds like to me like the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to nail down this wonderful truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I personally don't think it's that far away. There may be some, maybe some of these little ones that might be alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Of course, we all should understand what would take place on that last day. Martha said it'd be the last day. Jesus taught it would be the last day. And hear these words of comfort and encouragement to God's people. In 1 Thessalonians 4, the Apostle Paul said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, they're dead, but that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Many of God's children are ignorant of this fact, but he desired that they would not be ignorant. He said, "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent," or go before, "shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." That sounds like a happy, happy time. Sounds like something we all need to be anticipating and looking for. We're living in the days of, as the Apostle Peter lived in, you know, they said, "Where's the promise of his coming?" And Peter said, "The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. He's going to keep his words." And he says, "A thousand years is as a day, and a day is as a thousand years." And so according to God's calendar or his timetable. He's just been gone, what, day before yesterday? Is that, 2,000 years? Is that about right? But he's coming back. He's coming back. And you start thinking about from creation to now, we've been what, on this, mankind's been living on this terrestrial ball of clay about how long? About 6,000 years. See, 1,000 years is a day is 1,000 years. There might be more to that statement than we realize. Let's see, so 6 days. And after 6 days, the Lord rested. There's been new creatures being made here in this earth ever since Adam, Abel, ever since man walked on it. You know, we had the natural creation was 6 days. He rested the seventh. It might be that this spiritual creation, being a new creature in Christ, been going on for 6,000 years. And it might be a time where there's going to be some rest. From Adam to Abraham, it's 2,020 or 30 years. I forget the exact calculation. If you want to sit down and try to calculate it, you can. And from Abraham to Christ, it's almost the exact same time. 2,000 plus years. And from Christ to where we are now, we're sort of inching up closer to that 2,000 and plus years. You say, Brother Jeff, the Lord says, no man knoweth the day or the hour. He said, not even the Son of Man. Not even the angels. But I do like to think about it, don't you? I love to think about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But he's coming. Amen. And there'll be a sort of a falling away. But he's coming. There'll be signs. But he's coming. Now, as we continue here in chapter 5, it says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. And we are not of the night, nor of darkness. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be anticipating that day. Now, if there was someone here that visited a doctor, someone with child, and they visit a doctor, and they said, well, you know, you're three months along with your child. And they gave you a day that it would be born, and an hour it would be born. What would you do? You say, honey, I think we need to see a different doctor. This man says he can predict the day and the hour. They might get close to the week, but not the day or the hour. Noah was anticipating a time of destruction. And when his father died 5 years earlier, and then his grandfather Methuselah died, that's when the rain came. God shut them in that ark. They were looking for something. And the same way it is with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is being faithful members of the church, faithful readers of the Word of God. As that day approaches, it'll be more evident each and every month, more and more evident each and every year and month, that day is approaching. And you'll be anticipating that day. But upon the world, it says here, it will take them as a thief in the night. Yeah. Just like Noah was anticipating it. But the world, They were having their parties. They were marrying, giving in marriage. They were celebrating. They were eating and drinking. And Jesus says, just as in the days of Noah, he says, as they were doing it, it'll be happening here. And so, one of the great advantages of being a saint in light is that day will not overtake you as a thief in the night. Now, that does not make us better. I have to try to remind God's children many times that the truth that we have and what we believe and the structure of the church and all the wonderful blessings that God gives us, it does not make us better than anyone else. We just have an advantage. You ever notice that children that raised up in a two-parent home have an advantage over others that don't? It doesn't make you better, but you just have an advantage. People that are able to send their children to college and help them out to get a good start in life, they have a great advantage over others that just have to scratch and claw and try to make ends meet. You're not any better. We're not any better. But we do have a great advantage. Paul asked the question, what advantage has the Jew over the Gentile? What did he say?
Much
in every way. Help me. Much in every way.
Yeah.
Do you realize that we here have a great advantage in every way over the Jew? Because the Jew will not allow their children to read the New Testament. It's blasphemy to them. It was written, according to them, by a bunch of heretics that were following a false prophet named the Lord Jesus Christ. And they put him to death. But oh, we have the New Testament, 27 books. And I'm going to tell you, we have a great advantage. The person that has the 66 books has a great advantage over those that just use 39. Doesn't make us any better, though. But we have a great advantage. What advantage does the Jew have over the Gentile? Much in every way, because unto them were delivered the oracles of God. They had a great advantage. I'm so thankful for the church that we have a great advantage, that we don't have to sorrow, even as those which have no hope. I'm so thankful for the doctrine and practice of the church and our way of worship. We have a great advantage over those that have screens behind them and bouncing balls and all kinds of things that are distraction to true and divine worship. We have the doctrine of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have a great heritage in the church, tracing the footsteps of the flock. The Lord blessed us with a great book. And as much as I love the Bible and cherish it, and love the church and cherish it, what would it be without the Lord? You know, sometimes we think that the Bible will save us. Well, in one sense, it can help. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ that is our source of eternal and temporal salvation.
Amen.
I love the gospel, but the gospel without Christ means very little. I'm very thankful that we have the scriptures. They're a thorough furnisher unto all good works. And it is a light that shines in a dark place till the day star rises in our hearts. But oh, when we can open the scriptures and see how they connect with the one who it's all about. As Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And so as we look at the resurrection and rejoice in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and realize that as we read, study, preach, pray, listen, remember, memorize, go to our bowers of prayer, that day will not overtake us. We'll be looking up. We'll be anticipating that grand and glorious day when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come in all of his glory. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 reads, therefore let us not sleep as others, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live with him together. Someone says, oh, it says there, obtain. Obtain. But to obtain salvation by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You ever see somebody or come in contact with someone and they have a 500-acre farm? You say, well, how did you obtain that? That I inherited it. That's how I obtained it. And every one of us, as far as our eternal everlasting salvation and obtaining that, we obtained it by being an heir and a joint heir with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you for your real good attention this afternoon.